Shabbat. Shalom, everybody sing shalom, shalom. Everyone sing shalom, 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 shalom. To my left, lie, lie, lie. Shabbat shalom. How many are thankful that our Messiah has come? He is not dead. He is alive. He is resurrected. But he is coming again. He will come. Hu Yavo. Everyone say, Hu Yavo. Hu Yavo. He will return to Jerusalem. Zion's King will restore the land. The clouds will part, and our King will descend with fire in his eyes. Seven stars in his right hand. Huyabo! Huyabo! Yeshua, who Yavo, Yavo, who Yavo, Yeshua, oh, oh, oh. We know he came, the Lamb who was slain. We know he came. The Lamb who was slain will come again, our conquering. On that day, his sword will go forth to take back and restore what belongs. What belongs to our Lord. Uyabo! 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 will go forth to the ends of the earth, preparing the way of the Lord, beckoning the day when Israel will say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Together. Who yavo? Who yavo? Yavo. Who yavo? Yeshua. Who yavo? Yavo. Who yavo? Yeshua. Who yavo? Yavo. Who yavo? Yeshua. Who yavo? Yavo. Thank you, Lord. Your promises are yes and amen. All your promises. We truly serve a great God. Hallelujah.
Shem me'al koshem, utchala u'yilem. to sing that chorus. How great.
How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see how great. How great is our God. Our God. May America see how great, may the nation see how great, oh how great, may our children see how great,
time. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's just sing this chorus. You are holy.
For you are holy. Holy. There is no one else like you. You are holy. Holy. There is no one else like you. As for me and my house, we'll serve you, Lord, lifting holy hands in worship. No, we will not bow down to the gods of man. We will worship the God of Israel.
You are holy.
Yes, you are holy. No one else like you. You are holy. Holy. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you,
this day, whom you will serve.
Choose this day whom you will serve. Oh, come on.
choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve you, Lord. We will serve you, Lord. Oh yeah. We will not bow to the gods of man. We will not bow to the gods of man. We will worship the God of Israel. We will not bow. God, amen. Hallelujah. Let's just sing one last song. It's just a simple phrase, Hoshiana. Some would translate this as Hosanna. They were singing a Hebrew phrase when Messiah came in, riding on a donkey. They were saying, Hoshiana, save, please. Save, I beseech you. So if you don't know the Lord, this is your time to say Hoshiana. Or if you know somebody who doesn't, or if you have someone to pray for, you cry out to Yeshua, whose name means salvation. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light, my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I be afraid, Lord?
Cry out for your salvation.
Hosanna. Hosanna. We will sing out your salvation.
Now that we may behold wonderful things from your word. Gali nai ve'avitani flaot mitorah techa. We pray this b'shem Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Sam, would you give a quick announcement, Sam Clark, of the Israel trip? Sam's an expert at doing that, and really, I don't know if you know that Sam actually initiated the Christian branch of Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum in Israel years ago as he lived there and started that. He initiated that whole thing and has a lot of great connections there. So we'll be looking forward to that. There's looking forward to the trip in October that's coming up real soon. But if you can't go on that, you're not, you know, plan on May. And when again is that, Sam? About probably the second week in May, right? You're saying probably?
Seventh,
somewhere around there. Yeah, he's going to get some great prices on tickets, okay? I won't make a joke about it. Okay, so praise the Lord. We don't have an oneg today, so I'm going to just say anyone that wants to go for fellowship afterwards, we will try to have a little discussion, you know, Q&A time or Q&C time, question and comment time. Upstairs, Whole Food Market, if you have nowhere else, something to do, or you would like to join us, I'll be over there, and we'll look for, hopefully get some spot upstairs, help put some tables together, and for a little bit after the service. So that's where we'll be. And does Joshua have CDs for sale? Joshua Aaron? Joshua?
I love living in Israel.
You have to go to Israel to get it. But he's got CDs. You can order them online, right? Yeah, but your site? What would your site be, by the way?
Joshua-Aaron.com.
And iTunes and everything. Okay, so yeah, so you want that music. I know you want that in your car and in your travels and at home and at work. And so praise the Lord. Well, I just love his spirit. You know, just it's so great to have, when you have people that just have a heart for the Lord and just your, you know, just one heart. He is such a beautiful spirit, and it was just such a blessing to always to have you, Joshua. We're just so grateful. Isaiah 8, if you want to turn there. And I'm going to jump through a few things, but before I get into the real topic, I just want to touch on something I talked about a few weeks ago. I mentioned it, but I need to mention it again. Isaiah 8, verse 11 through 13, these great verses. For thus says Adonai, thus Adonai spoke to me with a strong hand, Isaiah says, warning me that I should not walk in the way of these people. Well, what do you mean walk in the way of these people? What are you talking about? What way? Saying, here's what they say, do not say, or here's what he's saying to, he says, here's what they do. Do not say, it's a conspiracy about everything that these people call a conspiracy. You must not fear or tremble at what they fear. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Well, what are we to do then? Verse 13, Adonai Tzevaot, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies, him you will sanctify, set apart, sanctify, and let him be your fear, trembling at him. Yes, the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom, beginning of knowledge, or gives use it different ways in Proverbs. Let him be, so listen, stop being manipulated and motivated by fear and sensationalism, being just like the world. Don't circulate reports which are speculative. May I say you'll lose your credibility, as should those who initiate such speculation. 1 Timothy 1, verses 3 through 6, he says this. 1 Timothy 1, 3 through 6. As I urged you when I was leaving for Macedonia, stay in Ephesus to direct certain people not to pass on different instruction. Another translation, I'm going to put a few together, TLV, New King James, Amplified, not to any different doctrine, or to pay attention to myths, or occupy themselves with fables and endless genealogies. These give rise to useless speculations. Another translation, they foster and promote useless speculations and questionings rather than God's training, which is in faithfulness, or rather than, I like this one, godly edification, which is in faith. And then verse 5 it is, he says, now the goal of this command, of goal of our instruction, is love. That's the goal. That keeps you centered. God's love. Sacrificial love from a pure heart and a clear conscience and a genuine faith. Some, having missed the mark, in other words, not having that centeredness of in that goal, have turned away to fruitless discussion, idle talk. Other translation, wandered away into vain arguments and discussions and purposeless talk. So, I just reiterate that again because I see things circulate now and then. You know, gas lines and everyone panicking. Many likened it to scenes from Mad Max. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has given us the spirit of fear, right? What? Doesn't say that? God has given us the spirit of fear? I know really it's timidity and, you know. But no, of course he hasn't. He given us not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind, right? Psalm 46 verse says, God is our refuge and our strength. Yeah, the whole psalm we could read if we, you can read it tonight, meditate on it, read it, quote it out loud. If you're experiencing fear, if you're trying to, if you're buying into the conspiracy theories, if you're buying into what everything's going to, all the disaster, everything that's going to happen, and you know, read Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength. Therefore, we will not fear. He's our present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. That's pretty bad, wouldn't you say? If the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, the waters roar and foam, the, you know, all that. I mean, it paints a pretty bleak scenario, and he still says we're not to fear. God is still our refuge and our strength. So anyway, I just mentioned, why should I fear in evil days? Psalm 49:6. Why should I fear in evil days? Ultimately, all fear ultimately is a fear of death. Did you know that? Fear of death. Proverbs keeps Hebrews 2:14. I remember speaking a message from there the Lord gave me years ago when I was chaplaining a ship that went to Roatan in Honduras. It was an amazing mission medical trip. We brought food and clothing and the gospel, of course, and Bibles, and did mime and all sorts of outreach on that beautiful island, great island, beautiful island. And I just remember a message, God is not, the devil keeps people all their lifetime in bondage through fear of death. And all fear is ultimately a fear of death. Woody Allen is famously quoted as saying, I'm not afraid of death, I just don't want to be there when it happens. So, I like good old Woody Allen. Still praying for him, aren't we? Praying for him. He's doing a new movie, actually. I just saw something I think Justin Timberlake, who's moved to this area, is in. So pray for him to come to know Yeshua, right? Pray for, I'm talking about Woody Allen. I don't know about Justin Timberlake. If he is too, pray for them, but I don't know. But anyway. But we are not to live in the fear of death. We fear danger. We fear enemies. We fear the future. We fear aging. We fear calamity. We fear losing a competition. We fear losing our health or our children's well-being, our parents' well-being. And we can live in fear of these things, fear of job security, fear of not getting married if we're not married, you know. These things But we are not to fear. We are to live in through the power of the Spirit, through the Word of God, the promises of God, to rely upon the Lord and let Him fill us with His strength. Let Him fill us with His hope, with His promises. Three men, a Frenchman, an Italian, and a Jew, you've heard this one maybe before, were condemned to be executed, and they were very afraid. Their captors told them that they had the right to have a final meal before the execution. The Frenchman said, give me some good, excuse me if this insults these nationality because there's probably better foods that could be, that, but the Frenchman said, give me some good French wine and French bread. So they gave it to him, he ate it, and they executed him. Next it was the Italian's turn. Give me a nice plate of pasta and marinara, said the Italian. So they brought it to him, he ate it, they executed him. Now it was the Jew's turn. I want a big bowl of strawberries, said the Jew. Strawberries? They're not even in season, replied the captors. So I'll wait. It's cute. Haven't had a chance to use that one in a while. The Hebrew word yareh, let's say yareh. It's right up there. It means, listen to what the meaning is, the root meaning of this Hebrew. Actually, you won't find this in your Strong's, which thank God for all these, you know, resources, but I've got some really good tools that get, and it means to call to constant attention. Call to constant attention. Fear consumes. Fear paralyzes. Proverbs 29:25, fear of man proves to be a snare. It's a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be kept safe. Fear is often, as I've said before, false. I love Isaiah 51:13, where he says, you're in constant dread. You're in constant dread all day because of the fury of the oppressor as he makes ready to destroy. And then I love this when God says, but where is the fury of the oppressor? Where is it? What you're afraid of isn't real. It's just real in your mind, but it's projections, it's illusions. It's not real. Psalm 53, 6, or verse 5, depending on your translation, says they were in great fear where no fear was. No fear was there. The only fear for the believer is the fear of God. Yareh Adonai. Let's say Yareh Adonai. Yareh, fear of God. Give him, back to the meaning of the word, give him our constant attention. Our constant attention. 365 times, I've never counted them. I don't know if it's true, but they say 365 times in the Hebrew and Greek scriptures occur the phrase, Yo lo yare, I guess it would be, fear not, right? So what about the times to come? What about the November elections? I'm going to speak about the November elections. No, I'm not. All right. And be sure to be, but I will say, be sure to vote. Be sure, if you're not registered, get registered and vote. One thing I get to do, I love manning the polls that, for the elections. You know, I do that. They pay a little bit, actually, not much, but it's a long day on your feet, but I love being a part of the process. Be sure to vote. Philippians 1:28 says, not being frightened in any way by your opponents. By your opponents. And we could go through many people, but I'll just mention in this part, Daniel chapter 6. Daniel 6. Remember Daniel in the lion's den. Don't be afraid. It says, Daniel in the lion's den. I love it when they made the decree. They gave the decree that was issued that whoever would pray to or worship another god or you know, some not worship the king, you know, would be cast into the lion's den. Can't remember exactly how it is, but here Daniel learned that the written decree had been issued. He learned it that it had, and what did he do? He went to his house where the windows in his upper room opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he knelt down, prayed, and gave thanks before his God just as he did before. He just kept right on doing it. He says, you can see me. I'm going to pray. He wasn't doing it. He seemed, I'm not going to hide my devotion to the God of Israel. And you know what happened? He got thrown into the lion's den. The king didn't even want to have to do it. The king was really actually sympathetic toward him. He liked Daniel, and the Lord protected him, and he wasn't even hurt. He was rescued. It says he wasn't even harmed in verse 22. My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth so that they haven't harmed me. Verse 23. What a beautiful testimony. No injury of any kind was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Verse 24, Daniel chapter 6. Don't fear. Yeshua said, 12:32 of Luke, he said, don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father chose to give you his kingdom. Now, back to Deuteronomy. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28 in the Parashah. The blessings and the curses. I want to talk a little about blessings and curses. The covenant between the Lord and children of Israel given in the land of Moab, often called the Mosaic Covenant, was made three times at Sinai in the plains of Moab and at Mounts Gerizim and Ebal. There were blessings for obedience and there were curses for disobedience. But these principles of blessings and obedience, which really is listening, it's the way I would say, listening, if you look at it, and curses from disobedience, which really was refusing to listen, apply to all areas of our lives, really. Whether it's parental instruction in a home, you listen, goes well. You don't listen, you get in trouble, right? Or it's in the classroom, the teacher, you listen, you follow instructions, you can do well. You don't follow instructions, it's not going to go well. You're not going to pass the test. You're not going to be prepared. There are rewards for following instructions, and there are consequences for disregarding instructions. How about on the battlefield in wartime? Imagine not listening to the commander, to the person in charge, and it can mean your death, right? Or the death of your fellow soldiers. Or how about in sports, in the football field, in the huddle? What if the players said, well, we don't want to listen to the quarterback. We don't want to listen to what the play is. We're going to do our own thing. You know, we disregard it. Everything falls apart. But I love the fact that in the New Covenant, You know, the word of God starts with blessings. It says, blessed be our God and Father of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Messiah. Ephesians 1:3. He's blessed us. As a matter of fact, 1 John 4 says this, as we approach Yom HaDin, the day of judgment, in this time of year, many believe that many messianic leaders believe that Yeshua will return during this time of year when he does come in the month of Tishri. And the shofar sounds, you know, 1 Thessalonians 4. And but 1 John 4 mentions, I don't know if you know that John mentions this day of judgment. It says, in this way, love is made perfect among us so that we should have boldness on Yom HaDin. Let's say Yom HaDin. Yom HaDin, the day of judgment. For just as he is, so also not will we be, which is true. We will be like him when we see him. We'll be as he is. But it says here, we are. Just as he is, so also are we in this world. We have his provision. We have his spirit. God has made us sons and daughters of his. We have him now. And he has made us complete in Messiah right now, Colossians 2:10 says. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. It starts with him. It starts with the Lord. It always starts with what he has done us. That's true even with Israel. It's not really different. It's in the new covenant, so clear. But really, God said, I've called you. I've saved you. I've rescued. I've called you out from Egypt. I've made you a kingdom of priests, a Kohanim, and I've made you my people. And so now he gives the covenant, but he says, I've already done all this for you. Now he says, here's my instructions. And if you want it to go well with you, just follow the instructions. It's really pretty simple. Just do what I tell you. Listen to me. Pay attention. If you really listen, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, he says, and that's the way I would translate it, if you listen obediently to the voice of the Lord, the Hebrew is really, if you're listening, you will listen. And, you know, you see Shemoa, Tishmoa. If you really listen, is the way I would almost translate it there. You really listen. The word Shema is used twice, you know, the verb is used twice there. Shema means, let's say Shema, means to listen, to pay attention to. Oh, it can be translated to obey. It's really to hear and to heed is one way of thinking about it. Listen, I would say listen in order to follow instructions to do it. Pay close attention to. He said if you listen to the voice of the Lord, the voice is kol. Let's say kol. Kol, and actually I think we've got a slide. I don't know, might be a little further down where I have all those words listed. Go another one. There we go. Thanks, Miranda. Okay, kol is the second one down. So let's say Shema again. Okay, and then kol, like kol dodi, voice of my beloved. But it means voice is voice or sound. Kol is sound or voice. It means to multiply noise. It can be voice, express thoughts aloud, a thundering it's used of, tone. So you know what I think it really... The idea is the attempt and effort of God to get our attention. The attempt and effort of God to get our attention. It says, if you listen, really listen to the voice of the Lord your God, Kol Adonai Elohecha, to watch over and to do all his mitzvot. If you listen to the mitzvot, and the word watch over, shamar, let's say shamar, it's the third one down, it means to protect. You're protecting, to distance from danger. Guard, careful. The word to do is to make, asaz, to make, to create. And he says, if you do listen to my command, you listen to what I'm telling you. Or he says, if you will not listen, verse 15, notice, well, let me see, I'm in verse 1 and 2, outlets 1 and 2 of 28. He says, to take care to do the mitzvah. He says, then the Lord, verse 1, Adonai, your God, will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Here's what he promised Israel. Then all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. And they're all listed, of course, many are listed in Deuteronomy 28. If you listen to the voice, he reiterates, if you listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Now to verse 15, we'll go for a moment. 15, he says, but if you will not listen, others, you refuse to listen, you won't listen to the voice of the Lord your God to take care to do these things, then the curses will come on you and overtake you. Again, God trying to get our attention, and he says, but you don't listen. Just like teacher to your teacher, your parents, to in every area of any area of a life where there's authority that God has given to protect us and guide us and help us. If you don't listen, because you didn't listen. Now, what does it mean to listen to the voice of the Lord? To listen to his voice. Psalm 29 talks about the voice of Adonai, the creator and king, that when God speaks, it empowers us. He strengthens us with shalom, it says. That beautiful song Joshua sang earlier that started out with shalom, or a second song, I think he did. Shalom, you know, wholeness, health, completeness. It means so many things. That's the voice of the Lord gives us shalom. I love Daniel 10. 18 and 19, what happened to Daniel, he said he was very weak, he was without strength, and he said, and then an angel, I think it was, who came to him, and he said, highly valued man, Daniel 10:18, don't fear, shalom to you, shalom lecha, be strong, chazak, strong. And then he says this, even as he spoke to me, I was strengthened. And I said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Keep speaking, because as God speaks, what happens? He imparts strength, you know? You know, God calls us to do what we can't do in our own strength. He tells us to do it. He say, well, see, why would you tell me to do that when I can't do it? Because I want you to depend upon me, and so that when you, if you'll receive from me, you'll listen to my word, you'll let my spirit, by my word, speak to you, I'll empower you so that I get the glory. I do it through you. Yeah, we're co-laborers, 2 Corinthians 6:2, 1 Corinthians 3:9. We're laborers together with God. We're co-workers with him. So it's a partnership, and that's the way God wants it. That's the way he's designed it. But it's really him working through us and our availability to him. Now, Isaiah 30, verse 21, your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. Hearing the voice of the Lord. Remember Eliyahu Hanavi, that's passive. Remember Elijah, what happened to him? And it says that there was the Lord was passing by him in 1 Kings 19, I'm in verses 11 through 13, you know, if you want to write the reference down, so you'll look it up later. But he says, he was passing by, and a great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and shattering cliffs before Adonai. But the Lord was not in, Adonai was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but Adonai was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire, but Adonai was not in the fire. After the fire, there was still small voice. Still like that translation. It's nice. It's the Hebrew actually is really as if Simon and Garfunkel, you know, wrote the song after it. It's really like the sound of silence. It's really what it says in the Hebrew, the sound of silence, honestly. But I like that, still small voice. You know, TLV says a soft whisper of a voice, demama daka, is what it says in Hebrew. And as soon as Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, maybe his talit, I don't know, or just his mantle, whatever it was. But he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then all of a sudden, a voice addressed him. And what did the voice say? He said, what are you doing here, Elijah? I love that. He had said it before to him. He says, what are you doing here, Elijah? He was getting him, just like this is a season of introspection for us followers of Yeshua, as Jewish, and people are introspective, you know, during, so we're looking within. He's saying, what are you doing, Elijah? You're running in your own power. He fled for his life from Jezebel, got panicked. Gas lines, no, panicked, and he ran for his life, and he said, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you running from? Aren't I sufficient for you? Aren't I going to take care of you? What are you so scared of? Who are you trusting in? And he's asking him to look within and say, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah goes, oh, I'm so jealous for the Lord, and it's everybody else. It's all their fault. I'm a victim. It's all their fault. It's not my, you know, that's basically what it is. And God said, come on, Elijah. Trust me. Obey me. Trust me. Listen to me. You know, Yeshua said, he who enters through the door, John 10, is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. The shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brought out his own, he goes ahead of them, and he's brought out his own. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. They'll never follow a stranger. They'll run away from him, for they know not the voice. They don't know the voice of strangers. I'm the good shepherd, Yeshua said. He says, I know my own, and my own know me. Do we discern God's voice? Do you discern God's voice? Do I discern God's voice? Do I recognize the conviction that comes? The rebuke of my trust in myself, like Elijah? The freedom that always comes with the Lord's voice? He does lead me out. There's freedom in responding, and if I listen to the Lord, he's going to lead me out, not lead me into bondage, not lead me into a worse. But there's conviction in it. You know, because God's word, like Jeremiah 1:10 says, God says, the words that I speak to you, what are they going to do? They're going to uproot, I think it's three times, four things, I think, uproot, pull up, pluck up, and destroy, cast down and destroy, then build and plant. You have four negatives and two positives. Just parallels to me, 2 Timothy, where it talks about what the word of God does. But the word of God is going to first bring something that uproots us. You know, in Psalm 1, verse 3, I'll never forget, it was so enlightening when I was studying it once and read the word shatul in Hebrew, when it says that he'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. It says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of God. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree that's planted by streams of water. And the word chatul, planted, is actually not just planted, replanted. In order for God to plant, he's got to uproot us first. That's painful. There's pain, and then there's gain. You know, do we discern what God's voice will do? It'll convict us. It will expose us. It will leave us naked and bare, you know. It will make me, you know, oh my gosh, woe is me, I'm undone, Isaiah says, Isaiah chapter 6. Says, but then if I receive it, then he builds and repairs and makes me new and whole, and the healing comes. So the stranger's voice I won't hear. False teachers, you know, as a child knows his parents or his teacher's voice, we don't listen to the stranger's voice. Turn away from it. Miriam and Martha, you know, that beautiful story. We had it in the responsive readings today, you know. Martha, she was the one that welcomed Yeshua, so she was great. You know, she had a, you know, her heart was good, but she was involved in what I call nervous service, you know. She was a worrier. She was always, you know, and she wouldn't just, and Miriam was sitting at Yeshua's feet and hearing him, listening, because that's where the power comes from. The strength to do well, the strength to be productive and fruitful comes from first listening and receiving and being a good student. You can't be a leader unless you're first a follower. You can't be a teacher unless you're first a good student. And so Yeshua said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Hear my instruction. Hear my words, as Proverbs says, Solomon many times. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the congregations, the kehilot in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Here is a disciple, Isaiah 50 verse 4. I'm not going to quote the whole verse now. But there's promotion and demotion. Promotion. God says, Deuteronomy 26, 19, in this portion, he says, he will set you high above. This is his plan. He says, I want to set you high above all the nations, Alyon, Al, Kol, Hagoyim, high above all the nations, God said, Israel. 28:13, he says, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will be only above and not below. But the contrary, the opposite is true. If you don't listen, says the outsider, the immigrant, the foreigner, you know, the someone who's not really, wasn't even born there, in this case, he says, who is in your midst will rise up higher and higher above you, and you will go down lower and lower. He will become the head, and you will become the tail. Just the opposite will happen, God says. The word rosh, let's say rosh, it means, it's translated the head, means to begin, to animate. Go back to that list, Miranda. Yeah, got the, on the other side there. Okay, rosh, let's say rosh again. Rosh is the head. But, you know, it does mean head in the beginning, but the idea is really to significance. Significant, that's the whole idea here. And rather than the tail is zanav, let's say zanav. Zanav, okay? And that is the tail. That's what it means. The end, the stump, append, add to the main element. But again, if you think about the contrast here, it's significant versus insignificant. Not necessary, the tail, almost not necessary, versus something that's very important. He says, you'll rise up, Allah, let's say Allah, where we get, it's not the God Allah, it's like where we get Aliyah, to ascend, you return to Israel, you're making Aliyah. Allah, that's the root. To rise up, to develop, going upwards. In other words, important and influential, central, versus tol is to cast down, throw downward. So basically the bottom, unimportant, trivial. It's a saying. Psalm 75, exaltation is in Hebrew, rum, and it means to elevate, to raise up. It comes not from the east or from the west. God is the judge. God is the judge. He lowers one and he lifts up another. He humbles one and he exalts another. And that's why we read that portion. I'll go back to later in Habakkuk, or maybe I'll mention it. But I want to finish this up here, try to finish this up into the principles here. Am I teachable or am I unteachable? Do I listen to instruction or do I reject it? A person who's unwilling to listen but wants to dogmatically be proved right every time, you know what the Bible says we're to do in the New Covenant? It says we're to leave them out, to not include them in our circle of fellowship and ministry. Titus 3, 9 and 10. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about Torah, for they are unprofitable and useless. Dismiss, here it is, verse 10, dismiss a quarrelsome person after a first and second warning, knowing that such a person is twisted and is sinning. He's self-condemned. So someone said, three strikes. Because you give him a warning, you try it again, you say, come on here, what you're doing is not unifying, it's not building up, it's not helping, it's disruptive, it's you're about your cause and your agenda and your theory and you have to be right and you're not listening, it's not going to work here. And you want to try it a second time. Let's try this again. And if a person's not willing, they just got their thing. You say, the word is, you reject them. It really means, but really not to include them in your circle of fellowship, you know, not to leave them out. God has such a simple plan. I think it's simple, don't you? For us to prosper and to be blessed, to be promoted. His plan is just listen to me. Be humble and hungry. Be teachable, and I'm going to balance this in a second before I close, but be teachable and eager to learn and be led. It's the sincerity, or the Greek word there, none of the translations translate it right, in Greek, in 2 Corinthians 11:3, the singleness of the gospel, the singleness and purity of the gospel. Paul says, I'm afraid lest they, as a serpent deceived Eve in his subtlety, your minds should be led astray from the singleness of the gospel. Singleness. It's simple. It's single. Focus on the Lord. I'm betrothed to one husband, 2 Corinthians 11:2. Do I want to be useful to the master, to have the mind of Messiah and his words in my tongue, be a disciple, be one who is teachable? Do I want to be at the beginning of the line or at the end of the line? Which would you rather be at when you go into a beginning of the line or the end of the line? On top or on the bottom? God says it's up to you. Is it in control under the Lord's authority or always beholden to others? In other words, important and influential, having influence for the Lord. We're called to reign with the Messiah as kings and priests. That's what the Bible says. verse, I could give you a number of verses we could all think of, but we're heirs, co-heirs with him. Romans 8, 17, 1 Peter 2, 9, and Revelation 1, 6, kingdom of priests. We're to reign with Messiah, and we're to be more than conquerors, not constantly being conquered. Always being led in triumphal procession in Messiah. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in the Messiah. 2 Corinthians 2:14. We're influencers. We're to be influencers. That's what God called the Jewish people to do. That's what God's called us to be as his light and as his salt and as his aroma, fragrance, 2 Corinthians 2, in this earth as believers. And it's to be an influence. It can be for good or for bad. It's for us. It's supposed to be for good, for the Lord. Do I prefer being the head or a tail? A mind or, pardon me, a butt? It kind of doesn't mean it, but that's the idea. Someone that's significant, that has influence, or someone that's really, you know, it's like the leftover, you know, really the initiator and the innovator or the leftover, the straggler, the leader or the follower, able to bless others or always be dependent on others for aid. I'm always needing help, always needing you to help me. Listen, there's times where we all are weak and we need help, and that's nothing to be ashamed of. But I'm talking about when someone's always in that condition, there's something that's not right, you know. God don't want you to be in a position where you're the one that's blessing others. You're able to be helping others. You're a blessing. He wants that for us. If we listen to our king and commander with the intent to follow his instruction, we will be empowered and enabled with the willpower as well as the due power to create and to lead and to bless. That's what he's promised, to be the initiator and innovator rather than the cleanup and the straggler, the head and not the tail, I'll say, on top and not the bottom, ascending and not descending. We'll have clarity and discernment like Elijah did when he heard that God's voice, and he had direction and health and wholeness. Promotion comes by listening. Demotion comes by not listening.